Are with me? No one is going to be silent right now. Every single person that has vocal cords is going to pray this prayer. It's simple. It's to the point. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I want everyone to turn to their neighbor and say, my, it's early. Good. We've had people get up and leave during the break. We've had folks that leave after. We'll take a break an hour into the service just to let folks meet one another. And we've had folks get up and leave during the break and go, dear God, this is the most awesome thing I've ever been in. And they're walking out the door out there like, it's over. We're going, honey, we just got here. This is so you can get a drink of water. Luke chapter 6, if you turn there, in just a few minutes, we're going to be praying for you, but I want to share from the Word of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. I was going to read a long portion of Scripture here, but I've just decided, and I believe under the guidance of the Lord, to read just one Scripture, verse 39 of Luke chapter 6. Before I read this Scripture, could you turn your hair, your eyes this way and your head this way? And listen to me just for a minute. There are folks here, you were here last night, and I preached on woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. And that was a message more of a compassionate heart, a preacher. What makes us tick? Why we do what we do in these services? What keeps us coming night after night after night preaching the gospel? The word woe in the Scripture in that one particular passage means it's a calamity. It would be an utter tragedy for me not to preach the gospel. Why? Because He's changed my life. God has changed my life, friends. When He's changed your life, you share it. You share it. That's why this young girl is willing to spend her graduation money on getting her friends to the revival. I've heard hundreds of stories like that. Two parents, a mom and a dad, bought their kid a car if he would come to the revival. How many would come if somebody bought you a car? Yeah. But people have done anything to get folks to this revival. It is because Jesus Christ is moving. He's changing lives. And that message last night was more of a nice message. It was kind. And every now and then I'll preach messages that I would liken them to Twinkies, you know, with, you know, cream-filled donuts. They're sweet. They're easy to eat. They're fun. But every once in a while I'll preach a more of a Brussels sprouts type of thing. And this may border more towards Brussels sprouts than Twinkies. Is that all right? And if you get bothered by the preaching, all I can say is good. My job, friend, as an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God, yeah, that's fine, but as an ordained minister of God, my job is to cause everyone to wake up. To wake up. In the church, I'm called as an evangelist to preach to the lost, and I do that all the time, friend. But my job is to stir this church, stir everyone that comes here. I want you to leave out of here knowing that you know where you stand with God. All right? And there's some religious people that are going to be irritated with me tonight. And I bless you in the name of the Lord. I'm not irritated with you. Why are you irritated with me? Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into the ditch? The King James reads, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes on white cane religion. White cane religion. Now, this may come across to some of you as hard. This morning, God gave me this message. I get up every morning, get in around 2 or 3 o'clock, and get up at 5 every morning to get the message for that evening. And I'm telling you, friend, you talk about a pressure cooker, I'll get before the Lord, I'll say, Jesus, this is not Sunday or next week, this is tonight. I'll get home. I got home today from the revival last night. And as I laid in bed, I said, Lord, in just a few hours, I'll be getting up and you will be ready to speak to my heart and change my life and give me a message. And there's absolutely no pressure. I do not feel a bit of pressure, friend. There's no pressure to perform. There's no pressure to dig in theologically and impress people. I have one goal and one goal only, and that's for every 5, 6, and 7-year-old child to understand this message. And if they'll understand, I know, Grandpa, you will. White cane religion. God's going to speak to some of you tonight about where you stand with God. Listen up. He gave me this little poem, and I'm going to read it. As a matter of fact, you're going to stand up as I read it. I'm going to keep your circulation going, friend. Does this picture belong to anybody here? It's going to go in the fishbowl if you don't come get it. Somebody gave this to me 2 weeks ago, said to pray over it. I did. You said you'd come get it in 3 days. You didn't. It's going in the fishbowl. Hey, all right. Here you go. Mission accomplished. Hallelujah. You say it's not true, okay by me, but listen, my friend, and you will see. There's a Pied Piper playing loud and clear. It may be faint, but you draw near. Like a lamb to die, you roam along, unaware of his fateful song. He lullabies, he hums, he sings. To his destiny, your soul he brings. His cadence heard throughout centuries. Get in line, lift up your knees. I'm in charge of this fateful trip. You're in my hands, I've got a grip. A grip on you and your best friend. We're gonna march until the end. Hand in hand, we'll walk this road to the very edge and off we'll go. The load will drop and we will too. Into a pit your life is through. As you begin to fall headlong, in your heart you'll hear this childhood song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. You remember back to early days, when life was simple, you never strayed. You loved the Lord, you held him tight, all through the day, all through the night. But someone came along in life, with a bill of goods, your soul's the price. You're so holy, you're so kind. Come on, friend, don't be so blind. My friends and I are religious too, but we'll have fun before life's through. We party, we play, we feed ourselves on carnal delights. Don't believe in hell, material girl, material man. Trust me, friend, God understands. He doesn't expect you to live so clean. Come on, get real. See what I've seen. I offered it all to the Lamb of God, fame and fortune everywhere he trod. But he turned me down. What a fool. Now here we are. What about you? Ah, you've loosened your hold on God's sweet hand, made the choice, joined this hellish band. Like all the rest, your end is clear. You never suspected your fate was near. But it's too late. Go ahead and cry. That's all we hear as people die. They come here thinking all was well. No, not me. I'll never go to hell. Into the ditch we watch them fall as the flames of hell lick up the walls. The truth pounds loud in the chambers deep. You had your chance, your soul to keep. But I'm not bad as other men. I pay my dues. Will till the end. I tithe. I help. Sing in the choir. Don't stand there and call me a liar. Of course I'm not on fire like you. It's your job to preach the way you do. I'm just an ordinary child of God. Don't come after me with your chastening rod. Please listen up, my friend, tonight. The Spirit of God says make things right. He is the one who convicts of sin. The Holy Ghost knows where you've been. He knows whether you're lukewarm. He also knows why your life is torn. You've sold out to the other side. You've turned from God to follow a blind guide. It's really simple. You've taken the time to listen to this little rhyme. Don't be misled. You must take care or be led down to who knows where. Jesus knows where. He's been there too. He bled and died to salvage you. He snatched the keys of death, the grave. Only in him your life is saved. So before you leave, walk out these doors. Get right with God. New life in store. He'll open your eyes. The blind will see. Tonight you'll walk in victory. I am extremely concerned for For many of you in this room, I have a concern for you. In just a few minutes, and I mean just a few minutes, I'm going to give an altar call. And those of you that are away from God, you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are away from the Lord. You're going to know that you know that you know that you're away from God. How many would say to me, I am open to this message. I will listen. Sit down, please. God bless you. Let me begin tonight by saying that everyone within the sound of my voice is religious. Everybody in this room, everyone at home, everyone on the prayer team, everyone in the other buildings, you are religious. I don't care if you're an agnostic, if you call yourself an atheist, it makes no difference to me. You are religious. You see, the modern day definition of religious is unlike our forefathers defined it. There was a time when the word religious meant an adherence to Jesus Christ. To say a man was religious was to say he was a fanatical follower of Jesus. But things have changed. Now a religious man can be just about anyone. Religion is a cause, a principle. This is our new definition, by the way, in the 1996 Webster's Dictionary. It is a cause or a principle or system of beliefs held to with zeal and faith. That means a fisherman's religious. A golfer's religious. A computer technician is religious about his work. Everyone here is religious. You can say to me tonight that you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You're not a churchgoer. You believe that life as we know it is life as we know it. When it's over, it's over. Your Bible can be a bass fishing guide or an IBM computer manual. I'm telling you, friend, tonight, you're religious. You have latched on to a cause, a belief, and you're willing to go to bat for what you believe in. Everybody with me tonight? Charles Spurgeon in his day warned of two extremes, and he said the truth lies between these two extremes. The rationalist who says that man needs no guide whatsoever. Some of you are in this room. Nobody needs a guide. Is he not? Is man not noble? Is he not gifted? Is he not a gifted creature? Can he not reason and judge on his own? He can surely find his own way without direction from without. Why does man need a teacher? He can learn on his own. These type people are self-sufficient, boasters, and will never condescend to sit at the foot of a master or follow the track of a guide. And consequently, and I know many people like this, and consequently, they frequently become erratic, singular, lawless, and unreasonable in their modes of thought and their actions. They often wander into the religion of atheism. The other extreme group are those who swing to the other side. These are the superstitious. They say, I see I need a guide. I will take the one nearest at hand. The superstitious. Why do you think the psychic channels are skyrocketing right now, friends? Even now, as we're in this sanctuary, there are people blowing well-earned money on 1-900 channels, friend. Calling some no-name in some no-name place who's going to give them some no-purpose prophecy over their life. And they're going to say something generic. You're going to get on the phone and you're going to say, my name is Maggie. And they're going to say something like, you're a girl. And people will go, dear God! They'll say something like, you ate yesterday. And people marvel. Without even the slightest consideration of whether or not the guide be a seeing man or blind, they yield themselves to these instructors and are often misled. They are weary of thinking for themselves and want others to think for them. This is the religion of so many, and they find superficial peace in it. Spurgeon calls it the peace of slumbering stupidity. I like that. By the way, centuries gone by, everybody dealt with the same thing we're dealing now with, you know? It's all the same, friend. There's nothing new under the sun. I remember talking to my grandma before she died back in the 60s. She told me about the big heroin problem when she was growing up. She said, "Steve, you could buy heroin at the drugstore." She said, "And many of my friends were heroin addicts." And I thought, "Grandma, when you were a kid, there was heroin? You know, if it wasn't heroin, it was alcohol. There was rebellion. How many understand that? There's always been rebellion. There was rebellion back in the Old Testament. They stoned kids. How many kids would say, thank God I don't live back in the Old Testament? Everyone in this room would be dead. There would be no Brownsville revival because there'd be no people. Before going any further, I want to establish a fact. Every one of us needs a guide in life. There's an old adage that the lawyers say, and correct me if I'm wrong on this. Judge, where are you at, Judge? Is this an old adage? Anyone who represents himself anyone who represents himself has a fool for a client. Is that right? Anyone who represents himself has a fool for a client. Everyone needs a guide. Anyone who attempts to live out his years on earth without guidance, the guidance of God, is a bigger fool than Lucifer. A few points to this message, and then we're going to pray with those of you. Some of you are already bothered. I watch you all the time. I can look at you and you do this. You bow your head. Gave an altar call the other day up in Springfield, Missouri, and as soon as I mentioned my subject, that I'm about to preach on sin, 100 heads just bowed over. These were pastors. It was sudden conviction. Sudden conviction. And it was like the arrows of the Lord pierced their hearts. They knew it was over. It was over. God had their number. Number one tonight, everybody is following somebody. Everybody is following somebody. Remember what Jesus said, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a ditch? Everybody is following somebody. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I can tell by being with you for just a few minutes who you're following. Your actions give you away. Your tongue reveals your system of beliefs by uttering a few simple statements. Some of you are walking, talking sitcoms. You actually find yourself making some of the same blatant statements that were viewed just a few hours earlier on the 18-inch screen. Some of you snap at others, are violent in your behavior, dishonest with your deepest feelings because you've been hanging around others who are the same way. Everybody is following somebody. I'll never forget, friends, in Michigan. I was working in Lansing, Michigan, holding a revival there. And there was a newspaper. And on the front of the newspaper, the Lansing Times, there was this picture of a gang member. And he was just mean as a snake looking. And I asked the pastor of the church if there's any way we could go visit this gang member on the front page of the paper. He says, as a matter of fact, I think I know where he's at. So early in the morning, I always visit drug addicts and gang members early in the morning because they just got home. All right? And they're there, and they're tired, they're beat up, you know, and so that's the best time, friend. Don't get them right when they're fixing to leave. Get them when they're home, you know, they just got home. And so about 8 o'clock in the morning, I go over to the house and knock on his door. Knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. And he comes to the door, and he's a monster of a man, shaved head, tattoos, you know, earrings up and down both ears, and just wild, maniac-looking man. And I said, "Hi, my name is Steve Hill." He said, "My name is Chris. What do you want?" And I said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to come in and talk to you." And he goes, he shuffles. See, his gang was gone. It was all gone, friend. It was just me and him, man. And he opened the door and sat down. And I figured since I already got in there, I was going to go for the gold. I stuck my finger in his fame. I said, "I know you, Chris. I know everything about you, man. I said, I want to tell you, this is what your life is like. You go out at night, you got a gang of 35 guys that terrorize Lansing. They all know you. You're the Viceroy gang. You're one of the meanest gangs in this whole area. You terrorize the neighborhoods. You have raped girls, and I know it. You have been involved in thievery. You've been involved in grand theft auto. You're involved in mighty your fights every night. You go into restaurants and terrorize the restaurants. I know all about you, but let me tell you something, Chris. I also know the man inside of you." I said, "When you get home and you shut that door and you go lay in that bedroom right over there and you're all by yourself, you cry yourself to sleep at night. You ain't no leader. You're just following that bunch of kids around. They poked you up at the top as a leader, but everybody's following somebody. I said, I want to tell you, Chris, you're the most unhappy man on the face of this earth, and you know it, and I came here to tell you that. You know what he did? He didn't buck up to hit me, friend. He started bawling like a baby. You know what he said? He said, you know me, man. You know me. You want to know why I know him? Because this is the truth, friend. Everybody is following somebody. Chris Monroe was just trapped in life, friend. He didn't know where he was going. I want to talk about a few religions tonight. I'm telling you, everybody is following somebody. Say that with me. Everybody is following somebody. I don't believe that, Steve. And I don't believe in God. You're an atheist, friend. You want to know what an atheist is? It's a religion. I don't follow God. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a Catholic. I don't believe in all that spirit worship. You live your life the best you can when it's all over. Is that you, friend? Some of you are here tonight like that. When it's all over, it's over. You know what you are? You're an annihilationist. They've already categorized you, buddy. You're part of a religious group. That's a group that believes after death there is nothing. When you die, it's over. And you thought you were just out there on your own lonesome. No, friend, there's a group that's already got you. You belong to a religion. You're an annihilationist. Perhaps tonight, you're of the Muslim faith. You confess the oneness of God and His prophet Muhammad. You pray five times each day. You give alms to the poor and the local mosque. You fast the daylight hours during the month of Ramadan. And you are planning your once-in-a-lifetime requirement to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. 1 billion of you live in the world today. I'm going somewhere, friends, so listen carefully. Perhaps tonight you claim allegiance to the Nation of Islam. You follow the leadership of Louis Farrakhan. Perhaps you're of the belief that everyone should have freedom to believe the way they choose, and that all beliefs should unite and give themselves to social action. You want to know how many Americans that call themselves Christian believe that? Millions of Americans, this is what they believe, that everyone should have the right to choose. Jesus did not give you that right. And Christian, if that's the way you believe, you're anti-Bible. Jesus stuck his finger in their face. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he said, there is only one way to the Father, and that is through me. Any questions? You believe everyone should believe the way they want to, and that all beliefs should unite and give themselves to social action. Be careful, friend. This is the One World Church, and it's moving in quick. And if you believe that, you belong to the Unitarians. That's what they believe. You're no longer one of us. You're no longer a Christian, blood-washed. You are a Unitarian, friend. Go ahead and mark yourself. If that's what you believe, that's what you are. And you're going to be swept right into the One World Church in the end. Everybody's following somebody. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to skip some pages. Because the best part, friend, of this right here, is this question. Does the somebody you're following know where they're going? Now I want to illustrate this, friend. The best way I know how. White cane religion. And this, by the way, is not comical. This is serious. Some of you are as blind. Young people, listen to me. Some of you are listening to garbage. Did you know, friend, there are people that talk about this revival and sway people away from the revival? They're going to stand on Judgment Day. They're going to stand on Judgment Day for their blindness. The blind leading the blind. There are people that want to get saved at the Brownsville Revival. They wanted to get saved tonight, but before they got out of their door, some blind guide got a hold of them and said, "You don't need to go over there. God can touch you right here." I'm warning you, friend. I'm going to go ahead and put them on. I'm asking you, friend, who are you listening to? Does the one you're listening to know where they're going? Little girl, are you listening to your boyfriend? Does he even know the Lord? Does he know where he's going? Does he have any inclination what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Who are you listening to? The blind leading the blind. Who's leading you around, friend? Who's telling you what to do and where to go? Who's telling you how close to get to God and how close not to get to God? Who's telling you whether to get on fire or not on fire? Who's leading you down the path of life? I'm warning you, friend. Jesus said, "Can the blind lead the blind?" No, they can't. They'll both fall into the ditch. I'm concerned, friend. I want to tell you what you're fixing to experience. Matter of fact, Michael Brown, that was just with us, he's faxing me tonight. He's sending a fax to me of all the quotes of all the people that were anti-Finney, anti-Spurgeon, anti-Whitfield, anti-Wesley, anti-Azusa Street, anti-Wales, anti... There were books written about all those moves of God. People that came out and published newspapers against the move of God. They would watch somebody get healed by the power of God and say, "That ain't God. Don't you dare go to California. Don't you dare go to L.A. Don't you dare get involved in that fanatical revival on Azusa Street. God will damn your soul if you go over there." He's got the direct quotes when they came out, friend. He's faxing them all to me tonight. I went, "Dear God, get them to me quick." Who's guiding you? Who's leading you down the road? I call it white cane religion, friend. That's what I call it. The blind leading the blind in America right now, friend, is wrapped up in this. They don't know where they're going. Look at our nation. Our nation is as lost can be. Yet we have a church on every corner. We have a church on every corner. And nobody knows where they're going. Does your psychic have any clue about eternity? Maybe she could tell you what you had for dinner last night, but can she tell you about everlasting damnation tomorrow? Perhaps your guru can meditate you into a sweet moment of peace on earth, but can he lead you to everlasting peace in heaven? I'm asking you tonight, friend, to examine yourself. What an absurd statement for the Lord to make. Can the blind lead the blind? Of course not. But that's exactly what's going on around our nation. You turn on the tube. You ever watch them? There they are, man. And they'll take somebody. They will take somebody, friend. Our nation is so gullible. Don't be gullible. Don't be a fool. Would you ever take a blind man and put him in the front seat of your car and tell him to drive you home? Would you ever say, "Blind man, pilot this plane"? Would you ever say, "Blind man, sit at the helm of my cabin cruiser and take my family for a trip"? Of course you wouldn't, but you put the very same people in front of your life to guide you. The blind cannot lead the blind, friend. They don't know where they're going. They put these folks in front of us in our living rooms, just because they broke all the box office records. just because he's the greatest cowboy or the greatest space fighter or the greatest this or the greatest that, suddenly he's an authority on everything. And they'll put him in front of you. They say, what do you believe about religion? And he says to the masses, I believe that God loves everyone. I believe that if all the young people would begin to take a good look at the hatred in their hearts and rid themselves of any bitterness that may have been placed there through their childhood, through their earlier years, and rid themselves of hate, I believe that they will become united, and together we can become a strong nation once again, and God will be pleased with us. And millions go, yes! While pastors across the nation are saying, listen to me, congregation. I am an authority. You do not have to get so wrapped up in your Christian walk that you're out on the streets, that you're out at the marketplace, testifying, witnessing, talking about God every hour of the day. God can do that. He can handle that. He's got angels. You do not have to do that. And something else, congregation, you do not have to be so vocal in your worship. You do not have to be such emotional creatures when it comes to expressing your love to God. I know. I'm your pastor. Does the person that you're following know where he's going? Dear God, I plead for these people. Open their eyes. God, don't let us fall. I hurt for you, friend. Want to know why? Because some of you are so wrapped up into people. You're going to damn your soul to hell because of somebody. Somebody. Listen to me, friend. That somebody is going to stand alone before God. You won't be with that somebody. Some of you are debating whether or not to get saved tonight, get on fire for God, because there's another partner in your marriage or another person in your life that you wonder how they think. What about what God thinks? Who cares what they think? On that final day, you will stand before God Almighty alone. And we listen to these people like they're authorities, friend. Only God opens blinded eyes. Where are they leading you, friend? Boy, I feel this tonight. Boy, let me talk just for a minute about the authorities on revival that are out there. Whoo. Boy, I want to tell you, I could preach all night on these authorities. A book's fixing to come out. I'm just warning you ahead of time. I get a lot of stuff about 6 months before it happens because I'm in touch with a lot of publishers. There's a book coming out pretty soon on counterfeit revival that's going to blast everything that's taking place across the world. I grieve for that man. I grieve for the publishers. You want to know why? That's what they're doing. And behind them, they have a couple million critical people that are saying, fine, I'm so glad you spoke up, brother, because I sure didn't want to get in that. I didn't want to get involved in that. I was getting so sucked up into it, but thank you, now I got a book. Thank you for this Bible that you've given me to go along with my King James, my New American. Now I can read about your revival, and it's obvious it's never coming. Who are you listening to? Let me warn you something, pastors. You surround yourself with the same kind of people as you are, like critical folks. If you're a critical man, you surround yourself with critical people. This is you. That's you. And all of you together will fall headlong into the ditch. Why? You sit together, you have your little meetings, and everyone criticizes the same thing. So you meet for about an hour, you rip to shreds. It's called spiritual mayhem. Look up the word mayhem in the book, and you'll see mayhem means a destruction, a mutilation. It's called mayhem of the body of Christ. That's what you've done. You've mutilated the body of Christ for an hour, ripped up this pastor, ripped up this evangelist, tore him to shreds. The whole time, all of you just sitting there, just tapping your canes on the table. What do you got to say about that, brother? Well, I'm glad you asked. Where's my cane? Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Let me point on the blackboard all about this man. You no more know what you're talking about, friend. Blind leading the blind. Why don't you invite someone into that circle that's on fire? Why don't you invite somebody in that'll irritate all of you? Cross the grain. Someone who'll come into your little circle and go, maybe sit there and go, I want to tell you why this revival is sweeping this nation. Says people are sick of the criticism. They are so sick of it, Pastor. So the best thing for you to do is just drop that get off that boat quick because it's sinking. People are sick of it, man. They're sick of it. Matter of fact, when people come up to me to criticize, it's just like they're just pouring a bad taste in the air. It's just pollution. You know, I've been around the clean air of heaven, man. I don't want that junk. Don't talk to me about that. Don't spew that out. Tell me you love everybody, please. You know? So early. I'm going to close, I promise. But I left my notes, Pastor. Let's see. Doing fine. Does the person you're following know where they're going? I know one thing, friend. I could give an altar call right now. I got one more point. Because some of you, man, are so convicted. Let me tell you, those of you that have been around counsel like this, you're all right. You're okay. You're just going through a hard time. No, you know what it's called? It's called sin. And you are a sinner. And friend, when you realize that, it is healing to your bones. It's like, whoa, the diagnosis. Finally, you finally said something concrete. This is sin. I'm a sinner. And then we can give the prescription. But if someone comes up and gives you some vague analysis of what you're going through, like you're just passing through a phase. Well, my son's been passing through this phase for 8 years. He'll come out of it. Yeah, but he's robbing people at gunpoint. Yeah, but he'll pass. It'll pass. Friend, we hear that. Love your son. Don't spank your boy. Don't spank your boy. I know all about this. Don't spank your boy. And now we're dealing with the Dr. Spock unspanked generation. Who's leading you, man? Who's guiding you? White cane religion. I want no part of it. Charity, act like you're getting ready to come up here. Just shuffle in your seat a little bit and look like going, ah, 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 ah. She's going to sing Run to the Mercy Seat. I love one of the stories, and I am going to close in just a second, friends, but one of the stories in the Bible, you may have never seen it like this, but I see it like this. It was John chapter 3. Remember old Nicodemus? Remember him at night? He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an old dog is what he was. God was going to teach an old dog new tricks. And Nicodemus was sitting in his bench one day. It grew dark. He'd already been talking all day long with the blind guides, you know. All his friends had been sitting around in the circle and discussing things. And he got up, put on his shades, pulled out his white cane and went, anybody seen Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, he's over there. Where? Over. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus? Yes, sir. Jesus. Is that you? Jesus of Nazareth. You know me, don't you? I'm Nicodemus. You know all this, don't you, Jesus? Lord, we've been talking, and we know you're sent from God because nobody can do the things that you do unless they're sent from God. Jesus, would you help me? Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? That's what he said, friends. That's what he said. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? I know all this religion is garbage. We don't know what we're talking about. No one does the signs and wonders like you do, Lamb of God. Who am I? Who are we? Why are we here? Jesus said, you must be born again, Nick. You must be born again. I love that story, friend. It's an example of what can happen to a blind man. God touched him that day, I guarantee you. My last point tonight, boy, you've been a good group. I appreciate you so much for listening. But Jesus Christ wants to open your eyes and guide you down the path of life. Number one, everybody's following somebody. Number two, is the person you're following. You're following. Do they know where they're going? My answer to most of you is no. They don't know where they're going, friend. Why are you listening to them, man? I want to tell you something else, friend. Some of you, you're going to take this old white cane. This whole front of this church is going to be littered with them tonight. You're going to leave this old cane behind. The scales are going to fall from your eyes tonight. You're going to walk out of this place. You're going to walk out brand spanking new, friend. You're going to walk up to those old blind guys and you're going to go, ho, 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 ho. You need to go to Brownsville. You're not going to believe what happened to me. Yes, Lord. You're not going to believe what happened to me. They're going to go, wait just a cotton picking minute. What are you talking about? I'm the guide around here. I've been born again. We had some people saved last night that are irritating their parents, by the way. See, God is saving smart people in this revival. And that bugs parents that don't know God. When their intelligent sons and daughters, you know, that they want their son and daughter to go off and, you know, be great in the intellectual, educational system, and their son comes down here, or their daughter comes down here, falls to the ground under the power of God, moans and groans on the ground. I mean, friend, it irritates mom and dad. And last night, man, some folks left this revival and they went home to mama. Mama was standing there with her cane. And what happened to you tonight, son? Where are you anyway? I'm over here, Mama. I'm over here, Mama. Mama, I want to tell you what happened to me last night. Oh, dear God, what happened, son? I went to Brownsville. I don't want to hear anymore. They talked about sin, Mama. They told me I was a sinner. And you know, I've never told you this, Mama, because I've been scared, but I've always felt funny inside, like that something was wrong. And when the preacher started talking about sin, my heart started pounding. And I knew something was cooking, Mama. I didn't know what it was. But the preacher said, if I just come down to the altar, Mama, if I just come down to the altar and ask Jesus to wash my sins away, that I'd be forgiven. And that feeling would go away. And Mama, I went down to that altar, and I couldn't have been down there 30 seconds when something came over me, Mama! Oh! Something came over me! I'll never be the same! I'll never be the same! Oh! Mama, I'm happy. I'm free. Now, son, me and your father want to explain something to you. First of all, we don't go for all that stuff. That was a Pentecostal church, wasn't it, boy? Let me tell you about, where'd you go? Let me tell you about those Pentecostals. They don't know no more about God than the man on the moon. You need to stay with Mom and Dad. We'll instruct you. We'll teach you. We'll show you, son. We've educated you. You're 21 years old. You'll make it in life, son. Don't get religion. We can guide you. Follow us, son. What are you standing there for? Follow us. Sorry, Mama. I've got Jesus in my heart, man. My eyes are open! My eyes are open! My eyes are open! No! Don't want none of that white cane religion! I don't want it, friend. The blind can lead the blind straight to hell. I'm on my way to heaven with those that have had their eyes open. They're open. They're open. They're open. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus wants to open your eyes tonight, friend. This ain't religion. Religion's hanging around the cross. Christianity's getting on the cross. This is not religion. Charity, come on. Don't anyone with your chairs move yet. I'm going to talk to you just for a minute, then you're going to move the chairs here. We're going to need this whole altar space tonight. I want to tell you what's going on, friend. Many of you are so hungry. You are so hungry for truth. You're so hungry for truth. You're sick of groping. And that's what blind people do. And if you've got a blind member in your family, I love him dearly. One of my best friends, Bob Ayala, he's blind. He's sung here at the revival. He's coming back, by the way, to sing at the revival. We love him dearly. But Bob would stand up here and he'd be amening me all the way through this thing. He's blind as a bat, man. He loves God with all his heart, soul, and strength. He'd be going, preach it, brother, preach it. You would never put me driving your car, Steve. It's funny, friend, but I want to tell you, some of you got the wrong person driving your car. They're saying, we're turning here, we're turning there, we're doing this, we're doing that. When are you going to stand up and go, no, we're not. No, we're not. You don't seem to understand. I'm getting saved tonight. I'm getting saved tonight. When are you going to stand up, friend? When are you going to stand up? When I got saved, hundreds of my blind friends went tapping down the highway. I went dancing down the other way. You know? And they were saying things like, you fool. You know? Think of it, friend. You idiot. What do you want to see? That's how it looks, isn't it, friend? That's how it looks when you really get saved. It looks so dumb. That's why we beg with people. We plead with them at the grocery stores, at the marketplace. I look at them and it's like, They're trying to convince me how much fun they're having. And it's just like, so dumb. Stupidity. Man, wouldn't you like to have your eyes open? Wouldn't you like to see the way it really is? Some of you are so wrapped up in your problems. You're so wrapped up in the life you're living right now, friend. God is going to open up your eyes right now. You're going to see your problem's not your work. Your problem's not your relationships with people. Your problem's not your economy. It's not your bank account. Your problem is not because you're less educated or more educated than someone else. Your problem is not because you're not as smart as this person or you know, those aren't your problems. Your problem is you're not close to Jesus. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Those of you that feel like you're uneducated, some of the greatest preachers that ever graced this continent couldn't even speak the English language. I mean, they massacred it. They would stand behind the pulpit and shake tens of thousands of people. D.L. Moody was one of them. Shake the multitudes. Why? Just a common man with an uncommon God. Powerful man. When he spoke, people listened because they knew he had his eyes opened. The rest of them were like scribes and Pharisees. Charity's going to sing a song called Run to the Mercy Seat. A bunch of you are going to turn in your canes tonight. You're going to drop your glasses at the altar. You're going to leave out here with your eyes wide open. Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to share a couple pages on that, but he has the power to open your eyes tonight. Only Jesus can, friend. Drop the other junk, would you? See, Jesus, you can't accept Jesus tonight like a hip pocket, get out of jail free card, you know, just another part of your life. He becomes your life. That's why some of you have blown it. That's why some of you have blown it, because Jesus, you asked him to come be part of your life. No, he wants your whole life. He wants everything, friend. He wants to heal your blindness. He wants to open your eyes, friend. He wants to change everything for you. He's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. He's not something you hang from your dashboard mirror. Charity's going to sing Run to the Mercy Seat. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give an altar call for everyone in this place that needs Jesus Christ to come into their life. You're tired of the blindness. You're tired of being led astray. You want Jesus Christ to heal your spiritual eyes. You want the Lord to come and be the Lord and master of your life, your guide. I don't care about tomorrow, friend. He's got my hand. It doesn't make any difference to me. Jesus is already there. He is already there tomorrow. And I'm going to step into it. He's already been there. He knows everything that's going to go on. He's my guide. He wants to be that for you, friend. Those of you that are away from God tonight, you need forgiveness. Those of you tonight that have never known the Lord, but you know exactly what I'm talking about, friend. You're as blind can be. But you want to meet Jesus. You want to meet the one who John the Baptist looked up at and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You want to meet the one that opens up the blinded eyes, friend. The one who set 25,000 blind men free in this revival. 25,000 have come, left their canes down here at this altar, friend. Religious people, those of you that are religious in this room, listen to me. Religion will damn you to hell. Religion will not save you. Don't tell me how much you know about the Lord. Tell me, do you know the Lord? Do you know Him? Everybody knows about Him. That's why I never argue with anybody about anything. I will not ever argue. I talk to people, I say, do you know Jesus? They'll go, well, let me tell you what my church believes. Back off, Jack. I ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your heart? Do you go to sleep at night with Jesus on your heart? Do you sing His praises through the day? Is He your love? Is He everything to you? Do you worship Him? Do you know Him? Is He everything to you? Well, Steve, what our church believes is if you're baptized as an infant and confirmed when you're 12 years old, then you're going to go, I didn't ask you that, friend. What are you going to do? Stand before God one day and go, God, you know what denomination I'm from? And you know what we believe? Case closed. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Next. Do you know him? Young people, do you know him? When Charity begins singing this song, you're going to come to the altar as quickly as you can. You're going to come to this altar. Those of you that need forgiveness in this place, there's a blockage between you and the Lord, and you know it. Something has severed you from God. It can be pornography. It can be witchcraft. It can be the love of money, which is the root of all evil. It's damning this county. It's damning the panhandle of Florida, the love of money. I watch it. I can smell it, and I can see it in the eyes of the people. More, more, more. I don't care about my family. I said more. More, more. I want a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger this, a bigger that. If that's a sin that's gotten between you and God, you need to repent, sir, as much as a drug addict needs to repent. You need to come back to God tonight. Those of you that are backsliders, you're away from the Lord, this is your opportunity to come to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Come back. Come back. Some of you, I just saw this in the spirit realm. Some of you, your eyes are glazed over. You can still see. You're not totally blind. You can still see a little bit. You're in a backslidden condition, but you can tell the further you get away from God, the darker it's getting. And your eyes are getting almost completely closed. Somebody brought you to this revival tonight, and you're seeing for the first time in a long time, your scales are beginning to come off. I want to tell you, I'm warning you, friend, if you don't come down to this altar, when you walk out those doors, those scales are going to crust over your eyes. God's trying to help you. You come to this altar as soon as Charity sings. Here's what we're going to do. Down, everyone in the congregation, I want you to stand. Nobody talking and nobody moving around. Nobody move right now. This is a solemn moment. Everyone that is in a chair at the front, we need your room. So this is what you're going to do. I know Bill Bush already talked to some of you, but I've already talked to Bill, and this is how we're going to handle it tonight. You're going to pick up your chair, okay? You're going to go off to the side. Your chair is going to go that way, okay? There's going to be ushers standing off in that area to help you with the chairs. Your chairs are going behind these trees. They're going to take the chairs off. Once the chair's back there, you're going to line up, and do not leave, friend, but line up around the edge of this sanctuary and just stand there. Does everyone understand that, okay? From this point over, take your chair that way. This point over, take your chair that way. Leave your chair with the ushers and then line up through here. Charity is going to sing Run to the Mercy Seat. Look at me, everybody. This is your opportunity to get right with the Lord. Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. He's been trying to get a hold of you. You're going to drop the white cane of religion tonight. Everybody believes in something. Everybody follows somebody, friend. But tonight I want to ask you, who are you following? Who are you listening to? And you know without a shadow of a doubt you need to follow Jesus Christ. You know it. We've had New Agers saved in here by the scores. New Agers. Why? They know that's all hogwash, man. It's hogwash. It's junk. Mystics come to this revival, get saved. Witches have come and gotten saved. Why? They know it's no match to the power of God. None of it is a match to the power of the Lord. And their eyes are wide open when they come into this place. We've had intellectuals come in here. We've had brilliant people. We've had successful businessmen and women come in this place. And suddenly the Lord grips them. They realize that all their intelligence is not getting them 10 feet in life. They need the Lord and they need Him now. Charity's going to sing Run to the Mercy Seat. Everyone in this room, you need God to forgive you. Those of you putting up your chairs, when this altar call is given, every one of you that need Jesus, you're going to come also. You're going to come to the cross tonight. You're going to come and the Lord's going to open up your blinded eyes. As soon as she begins to sing, everyone who needs forgiveness in this room, you need the Lord to wash your sins away. You need to come back to Jesus. You need forgiveness. Every single one in this room, in the balcony, at home, as soon as she sings, I want you to come quickly and let the Lord wash those scales from your eyes. I want you to come right now. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Come on right now, friend. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Come right now. Come on right now. I need the Lord. What is this? You're out there groping around.
and someone's trying to help you see. And you don't stand there. Get down here to this altar. God, I'm going to come get you, man. God's dealing with your heart. What are you doing standing in your seat? You know you're supposed to be down here. Get down here right now. The Lord is dealing with your heart. He's speaking to you about your Christianity. Some of you are so far from God, it's sickening. If you should die tonight, you know you would go to hell. If the Lord would appear here and walk close to you, would he embrace you or would he look at you and say, "Who are you? Who are you?" But Lord, Lord, don't call me Lord, Lord. We don't know each other. Never have. But Jesus, it's me. You talk to me over grace at the table. That's all I ever hear from you is thank you for this food. Amen. We don't know each other. Get down here right now. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I can feel this, friend. I can feel this. I can feel this. Come on right now. I need Jesus. You need forgiveness. Come on, friend. Come on down to this altar. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Listen to your heart, friend. Listen to that. You hear that? That's a Holy Ghost. That's called conviction. It's mighty. I just can't wait to get out of this service, Steve. This is spooky. It'll be spooky outside too, friend. You might as well get saved. Come on. Come on. Come on. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Everybody look this way. I know what the problem is. God just showed me. Some of you are standing there. This is what you look like. Lord, just reveal this to me. We're going to help you. We really are. We're here to help you. We love you. I want to see you saved. You're standing there just like this. You're standing. I saw you just then. You're standing there with your cane. You're blind right there. You're standing right where you're at. You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get you a CNI dog to bring you down to this altar. I'm going to help you, man. He's not going to look like a dog. He'll look like a human. But there's going to be a person that turns to you right now and they're going to say this to you. Do you need forgiveness? Look at me, friends. Don't stand there like that, looking straight down, because, you know, it's pretty obvious when you're blind. Don't look at him like this and go, no, I'm fine. Why would you think I needed forgiveness? Why do you think I'm blind? Don't stand there like that, friend. Look at him and say, I do. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. See, there's a warfare going on right now in this building. And I'm a man of war. I'm a violent man. I am a violent man, friend. I'm not going to give up on you. You need to thank God somebody's not going to give up on you. So this is what we're going to do. And no one's going to lie in this room. We're going to turn to one another in this place, up in the balcony and down here. Some of you are still coming. You're going to turn to one another in this place. Look at me, friend. Quit being so distracted. You're going to turn to one another and you're going to say to the person next to you, do you need forgiveness? Do you need Jesus Christ to wash your sins away? Do you need forgiveness? And when someone does that to you, you're not going to lie to them. You're going to look straight at them and you're going to go, yeah, I do. You're going to be honest. Those of you that need Jesus Christ to wash your sins away, you're going to be honest. This ain't the mall. This ain't the food court where you lie to people. You know, people ask you how you're doing, and you say, fine. And you, fine. Good to see you. Good to see you too. Bye. Bye. and you walk away, your family's falling apart, your husband's leaving you, your kids are on drugs, and everything's fine. This is church. Don't lie. If you need Jesus Christ to wash those sins away, friend, and you know you're away from the Lord right now, you look at that person and say, yes, I need forgiveness. And right now, hundreds are about to come. We're going to help you. Some nights, hundreds come at the very first wave. Other nights, the devil sits on their lap. Every one of you, turn to the person next to you, ask them if they need forgiveness, and then both of you come down as quick as you can. Everyone do it right now. Come on, both of you, come down. Come on, right now. Come on, both of you, let's go. Now, come on, right now. Let's go, let's go. Come on, come on. Both of you, come down, right now. In the balcony, let's go. In the balcony, let's go. Hurry, 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 hurry. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. In the balcony, let's go, let's go. Top. Hallelujah. That was good, but several folks didn't understand. Look at me in the balcony. You can't tell me that hundreds of people up in the balcony that everybody's fine and dandy. You can't tell me that. We've been in this revival too long, friends. I want everyone to do it again. You turn to the person next to you, ask them if they need forgiveness, and then both of you come down here together. Do it again right now. Do it again right now. Both of you come down here. Both of you come down here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hurry. Hurry. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Yes, God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to man. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Workers, have you joined us, all the workers here? Come on, folks, come on down. I'm not going to keep this altar call open. If you're going to come, get down here right now, friend. There is, I want to tell you what's in this place. There is a hellish bondage on many of you folks. We're trying, all right? But if you go to hell, it's because you wanted it with all your heart, soul, and strength. You wanted it, you got it. If you walk out of here blind, it's because you wanted your blindness. Come on. Come on. Come on. Young people, do you know the Lord? Mom, Dad, do you know the Lord? Come on. There's some true repentance going on here tonight. God bless you, man. Don't wait anymore, friend. What's going on? Those of you in the other parts of the building, you come right now. You come right now. Let's pray. Everyone at the altar, we're going to pray. Those of you that failed to come at this altar call, you need to learn about the patience of God. I want to tell you one thing, friend. A loving Savior will one day be a severe judge. And those of you that think that everything's just going to be fine and dandy in the by and by and God's going to put up with all this junk in your life, wrong, friend. Are they still coming? Is anybody still coming from over here? Anybody else? You know you're supposed to be down here. We're going to pray. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. There's a woman. You're in your mid-30s. You know you're not right with God, and your heart's doing this right now. I'm going to tap it off with this cane, friend. You got 60 seconds. Starting now. 50 seconds. God bless you. Forty seconds. 30. 20. Come on. Ten. Nine. Eight. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want everyone at the altar to pray with me right now. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're going to pray and ask Jesus Christ to wash our sins away tonight. Pray with me, everyone at the altar. Dear Jesus, everyone out loud, once again, dear Jesus, thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for not leaving me alone. I need you. I need you tonight. Open my eyes that I might see. I don't want to be blind anymore. I want to see. I want to see clearly. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've broken your heart. I've hurt you and I've hurt others. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Wash my sins away. Cleanse my heart. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend. From this moment on, I will follow you all the days of my life. You are my guide. No more white cane religion. I will follow you all the days of my life in your precious name. Amen. Hallelujah.